of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Also at philhendryshow.com is live streaming video of our show. We have a video cast every night from the El Pacifico. You'll know it's from the El Pacifico because there's the Pacific Ocean behind me. And
the El Pacifico, that's Spanish for the Pacific.
Yes, and so when we say we're from the El Pacifico, I actually had some anal, you know, grammar jockey, some grammar Nazi saying that, doesn't that mean the? And I went, yeah, it does, but then it's gringo Spanish, so, you know, what do you want from me? I think that grammar Nazi stuff only goes so far. Y'all understand? All right, so welcome back. You can get a backstage pass and watch a live streaming video of our show. You can also, while you're there, download our recent podcast, episode 31, and it's going to be featuring a gentleman that we have on as our guest this hour, episode 31 with Chris Norton on the free Phil Hendry podcast. Hit the podcast banner there at philhendryshow.com and get yourself a big, fat, rounded handful of that. We have the Milwaukee Lions in their very first preseason game. The radio cast will be carried on Phil TV in HD. It'll be Jack Gagner and Brett Morrison from the Beaver Dome in Salt Lake City, the Lions and the Utah Flaming Cavalry. We are giving away one free month of a backstage pass if your name is selected from the hashtaggers at Twitter. Just hashtag BSP at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. And or go to our fan page at Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS, and like the page. And if we draw your name, you win one solid year of a BSP. For you backstage passers, for you BSPers, we are assembling our best of Bobby Dooley. It'll be a download available to all for purchase, but it will be assembled, it will be voted on, it will be culled, it will be curated, if you will, by our BSPers. So make sure you get your votes in. Use the BSP email on the homepage, backstage pass people, and vote for the best Bobby Dooley bits of all time, and it will be a download available to all for purchase in our shop. What else? What am I missing?
You got to get a backstage pass.
Yeah, get a backstage pass. All right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Chris Norton joins us. Chris is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach, California. Also an aspiring filmmaker and actor. He's joining us from Las Vegas here this evening as we talk about his appearance on our podcast today. Your website, Chris, and other news. You really created a little bit of a furor when you said that women your own age should be reminded of guys their own age, guys like you, as opposed to going after the older, wealthy guy, you know?
Well, that's what I said when I was on your program before, yes, sir.
Okay, and you created quite a stir among a lot of people because you were dissing the older guys and, using terms like wrinkle boy and so on and so forth.
I did, Mr. Henry. I mean, it was not because I wanted to, I wasn't trying to offend anybody or nothing, but, one of the things I think needs to be said is that, there's a lot of men who are older and they probably have a lot of money, and that probably gets the women to be interested in them, but the fact is, when it comes to just pure, the sexual energy that you can give to a lady, which is what, I have to offer, and I know that probably a lot of, other men my age would say the same thing, I would say that, that's better.
But you were calling older guys wrinkle boy.
Well, the website, which is what I was going to talk about, sexuality.com.
It's called Sexuality?
Yes, sir. And
all right, sexuality.com?
Yes, sir. And the website is really devoted to me, and it's devoted to what I have as a representation of a young man in terms of sexual energy, in terms of my youth, in terms of the how hot, or if you want to say how hot or the handsomeness of a guy my age. So it's more about the sexuality and not about what a lot of women may be tempted by, which is money and power and that. And I'm not saying that older guys don't have money and they don't have, a lot of, I guess, power or whatever. but it's not based on it's not based on sex. You know.
What about the fact that older guys now have this thing called Viagra? You know.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Viagra and about Cialis and a lot of these sex aids. And that's what I call it too. It's more like a sex aid because. You know, I think that has been unfairly exploited by older guys. You know, if you're a woman and you have a choice between being with a dude who is young and has pure sex, or a dude who is pill, you know, it's pill driven. What would you rather be? And my feeling is, my answer is, a woman would rather be with me. But I don't think that we're putting it out there enough. I don't think we're saying to women, you know, do you want to be with a wrinkled, you know, a wrinkled man, or do you want to, you know?
Well, there you go with this wrinkled man, thing. You talk about older guys?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Aaron, I don't mean any disrespect or anything.
Well, I mean, you're laying it on, as the man said, you're laying it on pretty thick, though, man. You may not mean it, but you're giving it real good. You know, you're saying.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is this. I mean, no disrespect. I mean, an older guy, if he's got money, that's great, but. If you're a young woman, did you want to have a man who is has to take a pill, or do you want to have a good raw sex? You know, and I think that it's unfair I think the Viagra is something that needs to be pointed out. Is that, you know, you can't just say that I have a sexual energy. You have to take a pill. I don't have to take a pill, okay?
Well, what difference does it make if the guy's got to take a pill or not?
I just think that women need to know it up front. I think they should be told that they have taken they popped one, and you know, what we call the double P, which is pop one to pop one. I mean, that's been a long-standing joke, you know, among guys my age, that older guys have to pop one to pop one. And
pop one to pop, meaning you take a pill to get an erection?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I think the women are being left in the dark about it. So if you are interested in pure, raw sexual energy and the rawness of the sex, and you don't want a dude that's a double P, then you have to, opt for me. And I just think women need to be told.
I don't know how you would go about, Chris, and it's something you and I discussed. How do you go about making sure that men tell women up front that they've taken a Viagra or that they've taken a Cialis or whatever it is they're taking? How do you, you're not going to legislate that.
No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that there needs to be in our society basic courtesy. And I think there needs to be the courtesy of saying to a woman, I am pure raw sex, or I am not raw. I am not, you know, I'm not the raw sex. I had to power it with a pill. I had to double P it or triple P it.
And what is triple P?
Well, that's power with a pill or pop pill. If you power with a pill, it's a triple P. I mean, it's the same thing.
These are slangs that I've not even heard before. Is this common usage?
It is among, if you're talking to people that I know, because I hung around, and I'm a little bit different. I do hang around adult film, so I talk to a lot of adult film actors, you know, guys who do that, you know, for having sex, you know, for a living, you know, and that's kind of the people I hang around with.
All right, we're talking here with Chris Norton, our number 877-876-7445. And on his website, by the way, what does he have, bud?
Yeah, pictures of himself in a bathing suit and coming in and out of the shower, too.
All right, he's talking about his website and his own sort of presentation as a, if you will, a gigolo, is what it looks like to me, and the dishonesty of older guys and their Viagra as opposed to the honesty of younger guys and their pure, raw sex. 877-87, I think probably the only people that could comment on this intelligently would be women. 877-876-7445. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton. He's also on our podcast this week. So check out the free Phil Hendry podcast at philhendryradio.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Bill Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back. Here's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And with us is Chris Norton from his website, sexuality.com. That's the name of it, Chris?
Yes, sir. Sexuality in the modern age was the other name, but people may still be getting that one.
What was it called?
The original name of my website was Sexuality in the Modern Age.
And Sexuality in the Modern Age?
Yes, sir. And I'm not sure if that has been if I don't know what they call it, but if it's a switch over or not.
Okay, good enough. 877-876-7445. So essentially, your website, I'm looking at it right now. There's a picture of you here, and we go into this in the podcast. There's a picture of you here coming out of the shower.
That was a picture that was taken of me by my manager, Lance Germain. It shows me as I'm looking back over my shoulder. I'm actually getting into the shower, I think, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I thought you're because you look like you're wet.
But I'm actually getting into the shower.
All right. So had you already taken a shower?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the pictures of me getting into a shower. I had already showered, yes, sir, but I wanted the picture of me getting into the shower, so I was still wet. So, but the illusion is...
The illusion is you're getting in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't it look like that?
Yeah, it looks like it, except you're wet, so I
I think you're, what do you call it, you're nitpicking a little bit. You know, you're mixing apples and oranges.
How am I mixing apples and oranges?
You're saying that I'm getting out, and I'm not. I'm getting in. I'm stepping in.
Yeah, but you're wet is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know that, but that was a mistake. And anyway, so the next picture, are you going to move on to the next picture, or you want to beat that one into the ground?
And, you know, hold on, Mr. Norton. I'm not trying to embarrass you, sir.
No, I know you're not, sir, but I mean...
Honestly, the picture looked like... I asked you the question, honestly. I'm not trying to beat anything into the ground, but it looked like you were getting out of the shower, you know?
Yeah, I know, because I'm wet, and you're still talking about it, okay?
Well, all right. I that's what I do on the show. You know, we critique things.
Well, I appreciate that but you already did. I don't know how much more you want to... I mean, I made a mistake. Well, I guess we could go ahead and spend the money and take the session again, you know, but I already did a photo session with Lance Germain.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Next picture here. This is one of you from the waist down. All I see here is your backside in a pair of, it looks like they might be workout. Is it underwear?
No, it's a bathing suit.
Okay, that's a bathing suit.
Yeah.
All right. It looked to me like it was like a jock strap.
No, it's not a jock strap. It's a bathing suit. I mean, again, Mr. Henry, if you don't want to do this interview...
Wait a minute. Whoa, hold the phone here, man. Why do you think what I'm saying... Why do you think I'm intentionally subverting you, sir? I'm looking at pictures that don't look like what they supposedly are.
What does it say under it? Doesn't it say Chris in a bathing suit?
No, it does not.
It doesn't.
No.
Hey, Lance. Why doesn't it? Hold on, Lance Germain's my manager. Why doesn't it say Lance Germain's my manager, Mr. Henry?
Okay.
Why doesn't it say bathing suit?
Because I didn't think it needed it.
What?
Because I didn't think it needed it.
Okay, and why did you have me wet?
Because I thought it looked good.
God. I mean, Lance, if you're going to be my manager...
I like that shirt.
All right, Mr. I'm sorry. I apologize to you. Lance Germain should have put this is Chris in a bathing suit, and then he should have put Chris getting in a shower. That way you would have known.
Okay, but you're still wet.
I know I'm still wet, but he says I'm wet.
I know, but it looked good.
All right. Are you still going to have dinner with your girlfriend, or...
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's your manager?
Yeah, he's still hanging around. It's well after.
Okay.
So, Chris, the question that I have now for you is, so you have this website. What are you hoping is going to be...
Hold on for a minute. What's the matter now?
Well, I don't have kids to come.
Is that your...
Yeah, it's my manager.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Okay, honey.
Don't call me honey. What do you call me honey for?
No, honey.
Guys, he's leaving now, Mr. Harry. He's going to go see his girlfriend. And
his girlfriend? Okay.
He says he's got a girlfriend. He's going to go visit.
He just called you honey.
It's just the way it is. I mean, I don't know. So,
well, let me take some phone calls here, Chris.
What are we going to take a phone call for? I haven't said anything.
Well, yeah, you have. You've said you got a website, and you got pictures of your rear end, and you got... You know, I don't know. I'm wondering what the point of the website is beyond showing women how hot you are and that they ought to be dating guys their own age and that older guys take Viagra and younger guys don't.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. 877-M, you know, I'm sorry, but...
What's the whole thing with Lance, too? What were you talking about that for?
Because he doesn't sound like he's got a girlfriend. He sounds like he may be gay.
What? You talk about...
That's what it sounded like to me. Leaving the house, calling you honey?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Leaving the house, calling you honey. What do you call that?
He's peculiar. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, well, I'm not saying he's peculiar, but that's peculiar talk for a guy who's on his way to see his girlfriend. Unless, of course, his girlfriend's the same gender.
What are you talking about?
I'm not going to go into anything more than what I've gone into, all right? Now, I'm going to get on the phone a caller, all right?
Yeah, whatever.
No, not whatever. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I mean, I think that you owe me, Lance Germain, and Norton's Blows, and all of our associated businesses a very big apology, you know?
I'm not going to apologize to you for anything, okay?
Well, you're disrespecting what I've done on my website. You've also... you've essentially basically said that Lance Germain is gay, and...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that could be a... You could be sued.
No, I could not be sued. No, I could not be sued for that. No, because that's not a... It's legal status. How do you sue somebody for saying that someone is of legal status? You're a woman. You're going to sue me for calling you a woman?
Well, I'm not a woman.
Right, you're not a woman. But being a woman is not illegal. All right, let's take a phone call here, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, on the line with Chris Norton here from Norton Explodes Entertainment and his website, sexualityinthemodernage.com. Dean, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi, Phil. I'm listening to your conversation right now with Mr. Is it Norton?
Yeah, it's Chris Norton.
Well, it's great to talk to you, and Mr. Norton, I wanted to jump on here with Phil, and I wanted to tell everyone that my new book is out, Soft as a Feather, and I hope it is one that can compete with the Wally Lamb series, She's Come Undone, and the other one, I Know This Much Is True. I'm hoping...
Can I jump in and ask a question right now, Mr. Harry?
Go ahead.
What? I mean, he's interviewing me.
I know he's interviewing you, but I wanted to just... Phil, you and I have talked before.
I know you're working on your book, but I am interviewing Mr. Norton.
All right, well, that's fine. Just so you know, my book is called Soft as a Feather, Light as a Cucumber, something like that. But I do want it to be in competition with, and hopefully the Wally Lamb series is going to...
All right, Chris? Okay, 877-876-7445. So we were talking about sexuality in the modern age, your website, and the photographs of you. We can get off of Lance Germain if you want.
Yeah, that'd be very nice, because I don't think it's fair of you to be talk about him like that.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but you had him on the air, and he was saying yes and goodnight, honey, and all that.
No, I mean, if you've got a... Yeah, I mean, he's about... I don't see it. He's about as macho a guy as... In fact, here he is right now. You know, hey, come here for a minute, Lance. Why are you here?
She's not home.
Your girlfriend's not home?
Yeah, huh?
Well, Mr.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton, he's on our podcast this week at Phil Henry, at the Free Phil Henry podcast at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. Stick around. Thank you.
What do you want? I don't know.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876 Phil. Chris Norton on the line with us from Las Vegas tonight. Are you on vacation there, Chris?
I'm here with a group of other professionals from the adult film business, and there was a trade show, Mr. Henry, at the Las Vegas Convention Center. There's also one that was over at Hilton, and we were over there talking with some of the distributors, and now we're just kind of kicking back. And
are you an adult film actor?
I've dabbled, and I have also dabbled in filmmaking. But my main area right now of interest is sexuality, and sort of my brand. You know, if you know about brand, Mr. Henry. You know about brand, Mr. Henry.
About brands, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, my brand is the cess, and cess of my brand is cess, the cess I've had. Okay, and so
the sex you've had.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and so and it's not because I want to be a gigolo. I heard what you said, and that's not true. My brand is the cess I've had, and being attractive to women so that they don't do what they usually do, which is opt for an old guy, an old man with money, who has to have something installed or take a handful of pills to be sessual, you know, or at least to have a sessual performance. And, you know.
All right. So there's an alternative out there, ladies, to your rich older boyfriend who has to take Viagra. It's a young guy like you.
Yes, exactly. 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 And but I also hasten to add, Mr. Henry, I don't know that there's anyone like me. I mean, we're all original. You know, I'm a professional in terms of cess. I mean, I am aspiring to be a professional of a cess, you know, cessful professional. I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing fine. Up until then, you were doing fine.
Okay. Did I blow it?
No, you just were like stuttering a little bit. Go ahead. You're fine.
So you heard that? Did they hear it?
Did who? Did the audience?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but let's just move past it. That's what you do in radio.
Okay, all right. So I have been.
Yeah, we're talking here, Chris. You're saying that you are a professional.
I'm not a gigolo. I am a professional cess. I'm a professional cess actor. And so,
you're an aspiring adult film actor, and so you're not a whore, you're not a gigolo, but you are different from most guys.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
But you want the women to know that the young men are preferable to older guys, and that's great. And I wish you the best of luck with your website. I'm not exactly sure. I don't really know that you're striking a chord there, you know. I just don't. Let's go to our phones, 877-876-7445. Now, do you have any problem with talking to a journalist? I mean, I know I am, sort of, but...
Is it like on TV or something?
No, right now.
No, I mean, I'm fine.
Okay, let's go. Margaret Gray is on the line from Santa Monica. Margaret, have you been listening to the interview?
Phil, yes, I have, and it's been very, very interesting, and I usually do weigh in at this point on your program with Margaret's do's and don'ts, and of course I do have a little bit told me, and I think on Friday nights I also do Margaret's tips for the weekend, but I really had to weigh in tonight, even though it is a Thursday night and it's generally reserved for Margaret goes here, but don't you do that yourself. Although I think this could qualify for Margaret goes here, but don't you go there yourself. This young man...
Wait. What is that? What are you saying?
Yeah, what is that? Because I don't want to be a part... You know, I have my copyright, my brand protected.
Don't worry, sir. Your brand and your copyright is protected. What are you asking, Phil?
What is that?
What is what?
What is the thing that you're doing here? What is the segment?
It's the segment I do every Thursday night on your program, which is Margaret's Going There, But Don't You Try It.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I didn't know that there was such a segment.
Well, that's very embarrassing. I'm on, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you that I come on the Phil Henry Show regularly on Thursdays for a segment called Margaret Goes There. Is it your purpose in life, Mr. Henry, to destroy me all at once? Or do you want to do it gradually over time?
Margaret, I'm not trying to destroy you.
What's going on? What's...
Excuse me. Would you excuse us for a moment, Mr. Norton?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about... You're a woman, right?
Yes, I am.
Right, I mean, but don't you want to talk to me, or...
I can barely make out what you're saying. I want to talk to Mr. Henry. Hold on for a minute.
I have a sinus condition.
Hold on, Chris. What?
Well, what is this I don't know this segment called Margaret Goes There, But Don't You Don't? We've been doing it every Thursday night.
I don't know the segment. I don't recall doing the segment.
Let me, Frank, where do I...
It's on the Pute go-around.
Oh, God almighty, I am so sorry, Phil. I owe you an apology.
It's on another show, huh?
Yes, it's on the Chris Pute go-round. And that is I'm sorry, Phil.
Way to get the plug in for another guy's show.
Well, no, it's a music show, Phil. It's not a talk show like yours. Don't worry about it. The Chris Pute go-round, right, Frank?
It's on Chris Pute go-round. Simi Valley.
It's the Chris Pute go-round in Simi Valley.
Yeah, WKK, WANK or something.
It's a WANK. No, it isn't. That's a West Coast station.
KRANK.
It's on Crank Radio.
I don't know any of these stations you're talking about. Crank?
Yeah.
Yes, I think they were called Crank. And someone took those call letters and said something along the lines of, you know, it was a billboard campaign, and someone had spray-painted Yank Your over the calls, and so I think they must have changed it, Frank.
Oh, I've got to talk to Bob Beatty, who's the owner.
Yeah, they must have changed it.
All right, now that we've burned up all that time talking about that and plugging another guy's show and plugging another radio station and plugging, a company and their ad campaign.
Oh, my God, Phil, relax, will you?
No, I agree with Mr. Henry. I think...
I'm not talking to you, whoever you are, Norton, all right?
My name's Chris Norton. I mean...
I'm not talking to you. Why are you lighting into me?
Ms. Gray, hold on for a minute.
Me. Yeah? Yeah?
Mr. Norton, would you excuse us for a moment?
Well, I mean, yeah, okay.
Margaret?
Yes?
I've had about all I'm going to take from you coming on my show.
Oh, listen, he's standing up now. The media guy's standing up.
Shut up.
Yes?
I've had about all I'm going to take from you coming on my show, reading me the riot act, telling me how I'm wrong, telling me about this, telling me about that, getting upset, not answering questions, changing the subject, making an issue out of things that shouldn't be made an issue out of, making a big deal out of nothing, being petty as hell. This happens every single time you're on the show, and I don't want it to happen anymore, or I'm not going to have you on the air anymore.
And what would you say if my husband put in a call to your business partner, David G. Hall?
You're making him cry, Bill. And
you with your gender confusion, Frank.
What?
You with your gender confusion.
What are you getting at?
I'm not getting at anything. I'm telling you right out, right straight. You don't know the difference between he and she in a sentence because you need some kind of antibiotic or a biochemical treatment to your brain.
Are you listening to her? Well, I don't know why you ever went on her show in the first place.
Give me the phone. How dare you make fun of my husband's mental condition?
I'm going to tell you something right now. She needs to have her head examined, all right?
Who's that?
Your husband, Frank.
She?
I mean he.
He needs to have it. Guess who needs their head examined? Hey, Frank, you ought to hear. He, she, I don't even know what it
is. What'd she say now?
He said.
I'm hanging up on both of them.
Don't you dare, Henry, or you'll never see.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry, I can't every week, something.
I got to tell you something, man. I'm getting a lot of complaints, though.
About what?
about you hanging up on people. You know what I'm talking about? You hanging up on people, hanging up on people, hanging up on people. You know, you got to complete it and finish it out and clean it up, you know?
Yeah, you got to clean, you got to get it cleaned out.
What language are you guys speaking now? And what happened to Chris Norton?
Still on hold.
Let me talk to him. Compared to those two nuts, he's a breath of fresh air. Would you hang up on those people? Thank you. Let me get Mr. Norton back up on the line so we can at least finish out. All right, Chris, is that you?
Yes, sir.
All right, I got to congratulate you. You were far more responsive and a much easier interview tonight than those two idiots. I apologize for putting you on hold.
Well, no, that's okay, Mr. Henry. I'm here. I'm just playing blackjack, you know, and I also play some keno.
Good for you. That's very good.
And when I'm done, I'm probably going to go over and play some video poker or something like that, you know. But tomorrow we're going to be making a very interesting series of films, and I will have stills from it on sexuality. And it's kind of a very interesting, different take. We're going to be going down the street, and we're going to be asking people if they want to, you know, have, you know, we're going to be asking young guys, hey, isn't she hot? Because we're going to have this girl, I mean, I say girl in quotes, Jackie, that's going to be with us, right?
Okay.
And anyway, and that, by the way, I'm not saying her name is Jackie to make fun of any real girls that are named Jackie, okay?
I understand. What about Jackie?
Well, Jackie's a he-she.
A transsexual.
Yes, sir. And so what happens is we ask these dudes, hey, dude, you know, check it out. You want to jump it? You want to climb it and jump it? And they're all like, yeah, you know. So then we go up and go, okay, we got a camera. And then they find out, you know, when it strips.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of adult film that you are...
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's odd. You know, people are paying top dollar for that.
Top dollar, huh?
Yeah, you'd be surprised, Mr. Henry. You'd be surprised, Mr. Henry.
Well, good luck, buddy. So what do you call on that one?
Well, I mean, it's, I don't know yet. I mean, we're going to call it Tran Nation or Tranny Nation. I don't know what it's going to be called. We'll probably call it something like Surprise. You know, you're on Tranded Camera, something like that.
Tranded?
That's a pretty good idea, Mr. Norton.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Surprise, you're on Tranded Camera. Good luck, man.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, it's a living.
Good for you. No, it's a living. I got to take a break, though, okay?
You don't want to talk about Tran Camera?
No, I do not want to talk about Tran... What, bud?
Got that Marilyn Donnelly on the phone.
Why don't you hang on, man? You can talk to a pre-surgical...
I have talked enough of them, man. We were auditioning actresses all last week.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We got rid of Margaret and her stupid husband and her entire, what a psycho couple. That's all I got to say. Next hour is our news and information hour at our website, philhenryshow.com, and our podcast at philhenryshow.com. Hit our podcast banner. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Hello? Am I still on? All right. Am I going to...
World-famous Bill Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton on the line with us here as we talk about his website, sexuality.com, about your plans for your website, selling the young, sexy man as the alternative to the older guy. I don't think you guys have ever really had any serious competition from older guys.
I can tell you, Mr. Henry, and I say, you know, I never have had none, but a lot of guys I know have had it because a lot of young women are going to lay it on the line for a dude what has money. Now I've never had no woman leave me for that, but I'm different. That's what I say. You know, I work in adult film. I do have a higher level. I probably register higher on a Cess energy scale than most dudes do, you know.
You register higher on the what?
I mean, I think I probably would register higher on a Cess energy or on a Cess scale. you know.
What scale is that? I mean, they don't...
No, I'm just saying if they had one, you know.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying so.
So, in other words, you are atypical. All right. All right, so, but my point is that I don't think you've ever had any real serious competition. Why would you even need to sell that, you know?
Because women are, you know, I mean, it's bad for me to say it, but.
Say it.
Women are whores. And
oh, God.
Well, you said say it.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, they'll spray, you know, they spray, I better not.
They go and have sex for money.
Yes, sir. I mean,
would you?
No, I never would.
What do you do now?
I am a filmmaker.
Uh-huh. Are you having sex for money or aren't you?
I'm a filmmaker.
You're a filmmaker. Didn't you just say that you're making movies right now, one called Tranded Camera, where you've got transsexuals having sex with regular guys? Are you one of the guys?
I am, yeah. First of all, you have to understand something, Mr. Henry. Having sex with a trans... It's the same as having sex with a girl, okay? Other than the fact that she's also there's another. It's got more equipment. That's all.
All right. Well.
No, Mr. Henry. It don't make me gay. It don't make me gay. You're pumping it. You're pumping a different. You know, a guy. I mean, not a guy, but you're pumping on a guy, or you're pumping on a well, is what I mean. Because I'm not pumping. It's not a guy. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever you say, man.
No.
Now, hold on. I got to get on the line here. Marilyn Donnelly, who is a transsexual, pre-surgical, as you say, Marilyn. When are you having your surgery?
Good evening, Phil. Yes, I'm having that in November.
November, okay.
My question for Mr. Norton is the following, and Mr. Hendry anticipated it. I am a transsexual, although I am scheduled for surgery. My question is, would you have sexual, or as you call it, a sexual liaison with me?
It would depend, Marilyn, if you qualified for Norton's blow.
I'm sorry, if I qualified for what?
If you qualified for the Norton's blow film series, all of these films are made by Norton's blow.
I don't understand Norton's blow. What is that?
Norton explodes?
Yeah.
Well, then, if you could articulate better, because I don't know. All I heard was Norton's blow.
Norton, what?
It sounds like you're saying that, Chris.
All right, I'm sorry. It's Norton Esplode.
Norton Esplode, okay.
Oh, I said.
Norton explodes. We understand.
All right, so what do you want? What do you want?
Well, I'm just wondering, would you hire me as an actress to be in one of your Tranded Camera films?
Again, Marilyn, I would have to have you come in so we could, you know, we could do a full, we could do just a full look, you know, get an inspection going. I don't know how much time you've got, but I'd have to order in. I'd have to put extra staff on.
I don't understand. Why would you have to put extra staff on?
Yeah, what do you need extra staff for?
She is a trans. Did you say you're trans?
I am a pre-surgical transsexual, yes.
All right, okay. In order for us to qualify you for Norton's Blow Tranded Camera appearance, we would have to have you come in for a survey, and that would mean we'd have to bring in a surveyor team. We'd also have to bring in a medical team. And
wait, hold on.
I don't understand this.
Hold on for a minute, Chris. What are you doing, man? Why are you bringing in so many people? What do you need to do?
I thought this lady said she wanted to be on Tranded Camera.
Yes, I didn't say I wanted to. I just simply wanted to know if you would hire me. That's all I'm asking you.
Well, all right. I mean, I'd have to bring in...
What are you bringing in people for, man? How many people do you have to bring in to figure out whether someone qualifies to be in one of your films?
If Mr. Henry, this is not like a typical porn movie or adult. It's a poorer movie. It's not just a porn movie. It's poorer. And
what is poorer?
Oh, I understand. It's part porn, part horror. So now I'm in a horror film.
No, I didn't know. No, I said it's poorer, but that means it's also says. But if you are a trans and I got to figure out whether or not you would register, and first of all, I've got to get you registered through the trans. You know
what? To get registered through what?
Yes. What is that?
It is something that I set up. It's called a trans registry, and that means if you're looking for transsexual actresses or adders or whatever you want to call them, you look in the transsexual registry, the Chris Norton Trended Camera Registry, and you can find out whether or not they would qualify for a film. And
all right, forget about getting them qualified for your Trended Camera Registry or whatever you call that. Why do you need a surveyor team? Look at this. We're up against the end of the hour.
Well, only because you want to do measurements. You've got to make sure structurally. I don't know why you're asking me all these questions.
Well, I think I understand. To you, Mr. Norton, people like me are nothing more than freaks. Well, I can assure you that if I ever meet up with you, I will beat your...
My what?
Never mind.
I'd like to see if you want to try beating my...
All right, thank you, and we'll see you next hour, the Phil Hendry News and Information Hour.
I wasn't going to say the word you thought I was.
Phil Hendry.
Yes, you were.
Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show where, what do we usually say? Totally, I spaced on our...
Here, let me get it.
A news talk, yes, thank you very much, Robert. A news talk, how could I possibly forget that? It's usually something that is just automatic. A news talk and entertainment, you know why? Because I was discussing with Dan, our first guest, Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who will be talking with us about the Daytona 500. Now, I know the race is over, but apparently the controversy around that rainout continues. Anyway, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we invite you to join us at philhendryshow.com, where we not only are we broadcasting the show on a number of radio stations, over 100 radio stations across the country, we also have Phil TV in HD, which is our video cast, and you can watch our show each and every night. And this evening, I want to make darn sure that that our winner, Bud, gentleman who was a Facebook fan of ours, we make an announcement again, let everybody know his name again, so that we're clear. He gets a free month of a backstage pass on our website for the month of March. His name's Greg, right?
Yeah, I forget. It's like Greg Cox or something like that. But I'm about to do like Greg Jones.
Well, whatever his name. Don't worry. We'll get to his name, and it'll be a... I can assure you he will be well publicized. Anyway, Greg, whatever your name is, congratulations and welcome to our program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Before we go any further, I would just like to lend my voice to the many voices that spoken today about Andrew Breitbart. I didn't know Andrew well, but I had met him a couple of times. He was a very nice guy and a fan of our show. And a man who was always very forthcoming if I ever saw him at any kind of a media event. He was a really bright guy. And I can tell you, as I said to our pre-show audience, it was both Matt Drudge and Andrew Breitbart who, when I would listen to these guys talk, man, these cats, if there was one thing those guys really knew, it was how to size up the consumer, who it was that was consuming their product, which was news. They really understood the audience, if you will, the consumer, the customer, for what it was they were selling, which was news and information and a certain editorial stance. So my best wishes and sympathies, the Phil Hendry Show's best wishes and sympathies go to Andrew's family. We're very sorry to hear that he had passed on, and he was always a very good friend to our radio show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. The Daytona 500, as you know, is in the books. As a matter of fact, the champion, Matt Kenseth, was in San Francisco. He was sampling some of the wares at Fisherman's Wharf. NASCAR introduced the chase for the cup for the following season in San Francisco, and he was there. And the race itself, the Daytona 500 race itself, has become the subject of some controversy among some fans. And it isn't just the terrible fire that they had on the track on Monday night, but it is also the fact that it was rained out in the first place or postponed or if you want to call it canceled because of rain. Steve Bozell is a construction contractor, a frequent contributor to our program from Corona, California. And he joins us on our newsmaker line to talk about this year's Daytona 500, the very first Daytona 500, Steve, that's ever been moved, canceled, or postponed from one day to the next, correct?
Yeah, Phil, that is absolutely correct. And I had done some research on that. When the actual rainout took place, I went online and looked at a number of NASCAR sites and some race fan sites, and I called that into Bill Irwin, who is a sports editor at the local Corona paper, and I said, I don't know whether you know this or not, they've never had a Daytona 500 that has been rained on to the point where they had to move it. Usually they'll have a Daytona 500, they will get rain, they will stop the race, and then they will resume the race once the rain stops. But in this case, for the very first time, they moved it to another day, and not only did they move it to another day, they moved it to the nighttime. And the whole effect, I think, was, first of all, for myself and millions of race fans across the country, we had a day where we were looking forward to the, in my opinion, what's the greatest spectacle in racing, which is the Daytona 500. I had upwards of 30 friends and family in my home. My wife had gone to great lengths to present a welcoming environment for this party.
You're going to have a viewing party, huh?
Yeah, that is correct. Yes, sir. And when I found out that the race had been postponed, I sort of took a step back. I remember looking at my wife and saying, they're not going to run this race. And I had to leave, and just I went into my office just to sit down and think about what my next move was going to be.
When you say your next move, so in other words, this is profound. I'm not a complete stone racing fan. I tend to, in my life, have been more of a open wheel kind of guy.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're like an IndyCar or a Formula One.
Yeah, well, no, not yeah. I mean, I like NASCAR. I like it all, but I guess I'm not as much of a racing fan. I certainly not as much as you, sir. So when you say that the race was postponed, it was postponed from Sunday to Monday. And you're saying to me that you went into your office to contemplate your next move. That sounds like a very profound thing.
Well, I'm not trying to make it into anything that I couldn't handle. I knew I'd be able to handle it. I told my wife I'd handle it. It's embarrassing to have to tell your friends, I'm sorry, the Daytona 500 is not going to be run for the first time in history. The Daytona 500 is not going to be run on a Sunday. They're going to move it to nighttime. So I sat, I got on the phone with a couple of friends of mine, Cliff Pettigrew and some people that I work with, and then I finally did talk to Dolores Blazingame.
Now, when you consulted with your attorney, what was the grounds, what was the basis for your legal claim against the people that run the Daytona 500?
Well, the first thing I want to say, Phil, is I want to be clear, I'm not thinking necessarily I'm going to sue.
No, I understand that, but you're looking for some kind of a legal remedy here?
Well, what I said to Dolores and what I'm saying to you and Cliff and I talked about this is that the reason why they postponed or canceled the race and moved it to another day is because of the rain. NASCAR is never going to be taken, I'm not saying NASCAR isn't taken seriously, but NASCAR is never really going to be seen a top-line sport. It's never going to be seen as truly a sport that can compete with, for instance, football in the imagination of the fans until they have the wherewithal and the the moxie, if you will, to go ahead and run it in the rain. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but I can tell you, Mr. Henry, when you see a NASCAR race postponed on account of rain, and I'm sitting there, and I know there's a lot of men like me. I've had to run it pretty high and fast in the rain myself. I'm a construction contractor. I've had to get my truck out to a job site sometimes when I know that the owner's going to be there. I didn't think they'd get there before me. And I am, and I've got to run myself out to a job site where the owner or the principal is going to be there. And it is a very rainy day. It's raining very heavily, and I've got to run it pretty hot in the rain. And I don't know if you know what that means, running it hot in the rain.
Well, I assume that means fast?
It means running it fast. It means because you got to get somewhere. And when I know I have to do that, and I know there's a lot of men and women listening to me right now, probably mostly men, who have to do the same thing. Well, the last thing, that I have sympathy for is some millionaire race car driver that can't get out there and entertain his fans.
Well, from what I was talking to Dolores about, and I was talking to Bud before the show, you feel number one, it was a terrible inconvenience to racing fans.
It was an inconvenience, but more to the point is.
So the point is about the rain.
That is correct, yes, sir.
And you feel the rain should be something they should deal with.
Absolutely, and I think that every year, if it rains, and they postpone or they slow it, whatever they do, what they're saying basically to the sports fans, and again, Phil, you've got a lot of casual tune in to the Daytona 500 that you may not get to another race, because the Daytona 500 is probably the most well-known race in all of motorsports. You know, maybe the Indy 500 possibly equals it, but I think the Daytona 500 is more, popular. And when you have casual fans tuning into that, because they're not really race fans, but it's a special day and it's a special race, and they see these men that they've been told are a pretty fearless bunch, because they run these machines at upwards of 200 miles an hour, and they don't want to get out there because it's, you know, my daughter said to me, it's all sprinkly, Daddy. It sounded like a little girl would almost say, well, look, it's all sprinkly out there. They big bad men don't want to go out. And so...
Well, you mentioned something about the NFL. Now, the National Football League plays in all weather. That's football, okay?
Well, yeah, but it should be motorsports.
Isn't it? We're talking, though, now about lives.
Well, Mr. Hendry, you're talking about lives no matter what. Now, let me explain something about auto sports and auto racing. Because I've had to run it out to job sites. I'm not a race car driver, I understand that. But I've had to run it out to job sites when it's been raining. And I've had to run it high and hot if I knew that the owner...
You explain to me how you running it high and hot, as you say, on a rainy day on a freeway, I don't think is the safest thing in the world, sir. In fact, that's against the law.
Well, I understand that, but what I'm telling you is, just listen to what I'm saying to you. It's a dangerous thing. Motorsports is dangerous. You take your life in your hands when you decide to become a NASCAR race car driver. You take your life in your hands, and I expect it. Every NASCAR fan expects it. And unless you're willing to go out there and put your life on the line, I paid good money, and I had my friends over to watch it, and of course we paid good money to see this, and I had friends over, and now they don't have the courage to do what I have no doubt in my mind the average football player would not be afraid of doing, and that's to get out there and let's go ahead and hang it in the breeze. You know, go ahead and just let it all hang out.
Well, again, though, and I see your point. You're, as a racing fan, you're saying that the Daytona 500 did a great disservice to its fans by postponing.
But more not just postponing, but not running in the rain. I'm tired of it. A lot of fans are tired of it. We want to see these guys start to live up to their billing. Excuse my language, is having a couple. You know, they've got a couple. They got a couple down there, and they're not.
Well, you're calling these men. You're saying they don't have courage if they're not going to run those cars in the rain. And I have to say to you, it seems to me like it's a fair discussion. I don't know that you're going to say they don't have guts. You may want to be able to discuss it and say, can we actually have a road race like the Daytona 500 in the rain? But to say that a man doesn't want to run in the rain like that, he doesn't have a pair, isn't that unfair?
I don't know, sir. It is not unfair, because look at what I have to go through. Look what the average fan has to go through. Look what pro football go through. And look what baseball go through. Look what all go through. But the race car driver, he's not going through, I should say, what the rest of us are. And
all right, well, I tell you what, Stephen, hang on the line. We're going to get our phone number out, 877-876-PHIL, and ask our listeners to contribute here. Do you believe that the Daytona 500 has reached a point where it should be running in the rain? And Mr. Bozell is with us, Steve Bozell, a big motorsports fan. He has talked to his attorney about forcing NASCAR's hand by way of some form of legal action to run it in the rain, because you've got millions of dollars, a lot of business at stake. People want to see that race. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here on this Thursday night, we're talking about the Daytona 500 and the rainout that caused it to be moved to Monday. And should NASCAR start running these cars in the rain? Now, Mr. Stephen Bozell is with us, and we're going to talk with him and talk with you about whether it is time that NASCAR start considering racing in the rain. And the reason, your primary reason for this, Mr. Bozell, seems to me like that there's an inconvenience to the fan or to the consumer.
And I also don't think it's good for the sport. And I think you can have good racing. Yes, I was inconvenienced. We had planned to have people at my home. And indeed, I did have 30 guests who came in from individuals that I work with, individuals that I am in business with. And so my wife was obviously embarrassed, as I was, that we could not have people who came to see the race. Number two, I found out that they canceled the race and moved it to Monday because it was raining. You've got football that plays in all kinds of weather. You have a number of sports that play in all kinds of weather. And yet NASCAR is trying to assert itself as a, you know, a sport that I guess you could say is just as tough and has just as many, you know, rough, tough people in it as football, and they won't even get out and run it in the rain.
Now, let's talk about speeds. Are you talking about speeds of the getting up to 200 miles an hour, and if it's pouring rain, and I mean pouring rain, and you know, when we're talking about Florida...
Mr. Henry, I've been in Florida. I come from the South. I know how hard it rains. Let me explain a little something to you about motor racing. As I've said to you, I have had to run it high and hot in my car as I'm going to a job site.
Well, no, sir, I've heard you say that you have to run it very fast going to a job site in the morning, but that's not racing.
Hold on for a minute. I have to get to a job site where the owner of the property or the person that has hired me is going to be, and they have told me they're going to be there in 5 minutes when I thought maybe they'd be there in a half hour. So I've got to go out. I've got to risk my own life, and I've got to risk getting caught by the police to get out there and get out there fast. And sometimes it's raining. Now, well, the reason why I'm telling you this is the rain creates just another challenge that makes it interesting for the fan and makes it very interesting, I think, and also makes it very challenging for the race car, the driver. If it's raining really hard, you say, well, can they go 200 miles an hour? Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to win the greatest spectacle in racing, you go as fast as it takes.
Yeah, but you go as fast as it takes, but are you going to push it to a 200-mile-an-hour limit in rain, knowing that the chances of you losing control of that car are getting even higher with every drop of rain that's falling?
Again, Mr. Henry, I would just say to you, it's the greatest spectacle in racing, and if you got the pair, and you and I were talking about having a pair, tell you what, if you got the pair...
Well, you're talking about having guts, and you compared it to football. There's no sport. There's no play in football that I know of. There's nothing in football that I would equate to motor racing. Even
well, yes, sir. Are you telling me you can't break your neck in football?
Now, hold on for a minute. You can break your neck in football no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. That's my whole point.
Okay, but what I'm trying to tell you is the chances of a fatality in football with the weather as bad as it can be are no greater than the chances of a fatality in football with the sun shining, because it's really not the weather that is harming the players. It's the hitting on the field. It's the conditioning of the player. Don't you agree?
No, sir, I do not agree. No, sir, I do not agree. I believe that when the rain's coming down on the snow and when it is in a football environment, no, sir, I do not agree.
All right, let me get a phone call here before we take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I want to go to Lancaster, California, and this is Austin. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I want to ask this gentleman a question. Have you ever raced in hot motorsports?
No, sir. Yes, I am.
Yes, you have. No, you haven't. You said all you've done is go to a job site.
I've had to get to a job site in the morning, sir. I've had to run it high and hot.
And yeah, you say you run it high and hot. That's not motorsport racing, my friend. That's going to a job site.
Okay, but...
Hold on, I want to finish what I'm saying. That's not motorsports, my friend. That's going to a job site that got nothing to do with racing. And if you're trying to tell me that you're going to a job site in the morning, you're not going 200 miles an hour, are you?
Let me tell you something, friend. If you got to get to a job site because you know the owner's going to be there, And maybe you were screwing the pooch, and maybe you weren't. But you all of a sudden, the owner says they're going to be there. I'm not talking about you. You're talking about going to the job site to what? Because someone's going to yell at you because you got the you got the plans wrong. I'm talking about 200 miles an hour down a backstretch on a rainy day. Have you ever done that?
I have been, as I said to you, sir, I have had to run it high and hot. And
you see, once again, you don't know.
You see, the question, Steve, is have you raced?
Have you ever raced?
Have I ever raced?
Yes, sir. Have you ever raced?
I have raced. If you want to talk about just the competitive skill, that
I'm asking you a question. Have you ever been in a NASCAR race? Have you ever been in a have you ever been on a dirt track? Have you ever been in a mini anything?
If you're talking about the basic skill it takes to race, which is the instinct.
Well, you're not even answering my question.
Have you ever been in a race, Steve?
I'm sorry?
Have you raced automobiles?
I have raced in the computer games, and here's why I say that.
Oh, that's not racing, my friend. You don't, until you race, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what they're putting themselves through. You don't know the risk that those men go through.
All right, hang on the line. Thank you very much. Hang on the line, Mr. Bozell. Thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The NASCAR, the Daytona 500, should they start running it in the rain regardless? Because there's a lot of people that are beginning to think maybe these guys aren't as tough as they say they are. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Stephen Bozell in Corona, California. You're originally from Knoxville, Tennessee, sir?
I'm sorry?
Are you originally from Knoxville?
Yes, sir. My family, we came here from Knoxville, Tennessee in the late 90s. And so I live in California. I've tried to get motorsports and NASCAR racing back here. But we're never going to get NASCAR racing back in California full-time if people are looking on from California and they're taking a look at everybody down south and going, I thought these people was, you know, I thought they had some kind of, you know, I thought they was tough and everything, and they're not, and they're just not going to be interested in some kind of a sport that just doesn't have, you know, can't show a little bit of hair. And, my you know, as I said, my family was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. My wife had made... the food and everything they have people over.
Well, if the race being rained out was an embarrassment because you lost the party, that's one thing. But having men run at 200 miles an hour in the rain, that's the question that I have here as to whether that's safe or not. Let's go to Michelle. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Michelle here with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to tell him, boy, I am really mad. I'm going to tell you why. I am a country girl, and you got to use common sense when it comes to driving or walking or whatever you do. Now, you tell me if it is raining.
You're going to tell me you're not going to walk in the rain? People walk in the rain.
No.
Hold on.
You got a mud puddle in your backyard. Now, I got a creek behind mine that it'll rise up. Now, tell me you get in a Yugo, and you go down there and you try to be all Mr. Badass, oh, yeah, I'm Mr. Badass, and you're going to go down there and try to drive through that creek in a Yugo.
Are you trying to tell me I can't take no mud creek in a Yugo? Yes, I am, ma'am. Yes, I am.
Are you going to come out?
Yes, ma'am, I am. Yes, ma'am.
How are you going to come out of it?
I'll tell you how, because if you can't take a mud creek, if you can't take a mud creek in a Yugo, if you can't take a mud creek in a Yugo, then you probably, you wouldn't be able to take a baby bottle. That's the way I got it figured.
It don't matter what you're in, you can't drive through certain things. And
I would just want to ask a question, Michelle. Michelle, this is Phil. Let me ask you a question. What is the mud creek is if it gets too flooded, is you're saying you can't drive through a flood, correct?
I'm not talking about driving.
It doesn't matter what you're in. Or you can be in a four-wheeler. Now, yeah, you can go through a four-wheeler, but your conditions have to be right for what you're
ma'am,
driving.
Ma'am, we're not talking
and
about
when
driving
you're on
a mud
race
creek.
Car
ma'am,
on a
ma'am,
race
we're talking
track.
About on a we're talking about on hard asphalt. We're not talking about on mud. You got it all right. You got it all messed up.
I'm talking about conditions. The conditions have to be right for the type of vehicle that you are driving. And if you are driving on a racetrack that is not built for rain and your tires don't match the asphalt has to match the tires. That's what my point
yeah.
is. You can't.
But if a good NASCAR driver is able to use the spoiler and all that to make the car suck down more on the asphalt. See what
and
I'm saying? So you can suck it.
Well,
ma'am,
it's making
our good NASCAR drivers look kind of sissy because a football player go out and he'll play
no
matter what. Okay. And now
they're
the NASCAR drivers.
Common sense. They're using their common
what
you, sense. Is what
yes, ma'am.
Using.
So if you're a good look, ma'am, I run it high and hot when I'm going down to a job site, and the man, you know, and I could be late,
well,
and so I got to run
idiot.
It, you know.
Then you're an idiot, because if I drive out of my driveway, I live in the country, and if there's ice on the road, I know there's ice under there. It might be white on top, yeah, and it looks good, but
well, let me ask you
I
a question.
What
if your daughter
you know,
or your, what if your little child was what if your little child was drowning in a creek and you had to run high and hot on that ice no matter what? Now how you feel about it? Yeah. So you'd have to go down there fast.
I have
yes, you do.
Whether I have you, to get out there and
well,
take
all right. So, but
like
Michelle's whole point. Michelle's whole point is that it's not safe. That these men could get killed.
And I'm saying, if they're skilled NASCAR, race car, stock car, speed driver, they know how to drive good. But instead, they postpone, and it makes them look.
I've been driving since I was 9 years old.
But you don't run it high. You run it high and hot. You know you don't.
No, I don't run it high and hot when I know the conditions are not high and hot.
Exactly, and I think what we're talking about is why put people through that.
Okay, so we look like babies. We look like babies.
When you say NASCAR looks like a baby?
NASCAR looks like a baby compared to the NFL, yeah.
You drive like an idiot, then you do look like a baby because you ain't grown enough in your head.
All you want to do is have NASCAR drivers sit around and suck a baby bottle on a rainy day. That's what you want to do, and you want to have photographs taken of that.
You know what happens?
And there'll be all over the country and all over the world of NASCAR, of Richard Petty sucking a baby bottle.
Yeah, we had all kinds of food here. We did the same thing. But guess what?
Okay, look at Michelle. I'm going to take a break. Thank you. I got to move to another call, but I appreciate your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The point she's making is a good point, which is there is a safety issue here.
Well, there's a safety issue, Mr. Henry, when you get into the car and the race starts. There's a safety issue. There's a safety issue. If there's a safety issue, Mr. Henry, when you get up in the morning and you go to the bathroom and all you want to do is what you want to do, and there's a safety issue there, because you don't know what could happen. You don't know if there's someone hiding. You know, all I'm trying to say is
someone hiding. I don't understand that.
All I'm trying to say, sir, is the safety issue is it's a safety issue no matter what. If we don't let our drivers drive in a Daytona 500 because it's raining, then we look like the biggest.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. And I want to find out exactly what it is you want to do with your attorney and NASCAR and what kind of legal steps you think you can take. Here is John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, my comment is I just absolutely think that these guys should run in the rain. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the weather is going to dictate the speed of the race anyway. And if the top speed is 100 miles an hour, then it's 100 miles an hour.
No. Now, do you follow racing? You probably don't, do you?
Well,
you don't know enough about it. But let me just tell you, you are right. You are right. And I'll tell you why you're right. Because if you don't do what the NFL already is doing.
The NFL is not running cars. The NFL is not racing cars.
No, it doesn't make any difference. But the audience or the consumer perceives that what the NFL does is tougher and rougher and takes more of a pair than the NASCAR. NASCAR loses credibility. And what that last lady I talked to, in fact, this guy here is so right. What's your name, man?
John.
And what do you do for a living, John?
I'm a driver. And I've
you drive.
I've watched.
Do you drive a car? When you say you're a driver, what do you do for a living, though? You drive a car for a living? Are you like a cab driver or something?
Well, I drive a truck, but listen.
You drive a truck.
I've watched Formula.
Now, how many times have you been to the Daytona 500? It's the greatest spectacle in racing. And when you go to that race and you see those guys going around the track and you think that's pretty tough and then the rain comes down and they decide they're not going to run, I bet you when you're driving your truck, I bet you go out in the rain. You have to. You got to make a living, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, if I have to drive under the speed limit to get there safely, I mean, that's the whole issue. Look, I've watched
if they can go 200 miles an hour, that's what I want them to do.
Sure.
And I think you give them an excuse not to go fast if you say, well, whatever the driving condition warrants. But this gentleman, thank you, sir, very much, because I've been talking.
Thank
and thank God you're from the north, too, which means I never thought I'd. But that's what you got to get a northerner to call up, because they're not so immersed in the dumb. I shouldn't say this, Mr. Henry, but the northerners are not so immersed in the dumbass, you know, aspect of it.
And what is that supposed to mean? Northerners are not so immersed in the dumbass aspect of it.
Because the Southerners are very big NASCAR fans, but they let what I call the dumbassness of it sort of intrude on their thinking.
Well, look, the last gentleman agreed with you, but he did say something that was significant. He said, whatever the weather warrants. So if it rains, let them run in the rain. Now,
but you mentioned Grand Prix, Formula One.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Grand Prix and Formula One races do run in the rain, but they slow it way down. I've seen Grand Prix and Formula One races, in bad weather where they're barely moving, man. I mean, where they're really not doing any speed at all, but they just keep the race going. So to that extent, I understand that. But of course, that's road racing. And
well, I don't know anything about that. I mean, we say road racing.
It's on a road race course. It's not on an oval course. It's on a road race course. And so it's more of a race reflective of road conditions. All right.
Sir, I just want to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I think what we're discussing here is NASCAR. And the way you said that just then, you were going more of a race reflective. You know what you said? It almost made it sound like you know more about it than I do, and that is not the case. And my attorney, Dolores Blansingame, has told me that we have to talk to NASCAR and tell them that there are damages possibly to fans who set up, to have a gathering and the buffet table my wife made with an egg salad sandwich and so forth.
So you're going to sue NASCAR because your wife set up a buffet table with egg salad sandwiches and they didn't have a race.
I didn't say I'm going to assume there are damages to the fan because they haven't got the guts to get in a car and drive when a little tinkly rain comes down.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Mr. Stephen Bozell. We'll be back with more of your phone calls and this discussion of whether NASCAR should just start to suck it up and start running these races in the rain. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be
Truth
right back.
Is our bitch, the Phil Henry Show. Bill Henry Show.
We've got Bob Bakey, and later on in the program, he has been in our news helicopter over Rush Limbaugh's house, where a bomb squad was called today, and we'll be talking with Bob later in the show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Steve Bozell with us, a construction contractor from Corona, California. What is the legal action you want to file against NASCAR?
Well, basically, through a Dolores Blansingame of Riverside, California, we would like to enjoin NASCAR from delaying the Daytona 500, which is the greatest spectacle in racing, for any reason other than, a really bad reasons. And a little bit of rain, we just don't think gets it done. We just don't think that cuts it. And when you talk about it, raining bad, and football fans go out and it's almost 100 below, or however, I don't know how cold it gets, but it gets to the point where man could die from being froze up. Then I think our NASCAR drivers can, you know, represent us a little bit better and get out and run in the rain a little bit.
So it just prevents NASCAR from stopping the race?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. NASCAR, as you know, last weekend, they postponed the Daytona 500 because of rain. It finally did go off on Monday night, and they had quite a time of it in that race. There was a major fire, and finally did get a winner, but they had a number of delays. Let's go to a phone call here. Lisa on The Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Lisa. You're on with Stephen Bozell as we talk about the Daytona 500.
Okay, I appreciate it. First-time caller. Not necessarily a NASCAR
yes, ma'am.
Fan, but the guy you have on is a blooming idiot. First of all, he talks about going to construction.
You don't know nothing about NASCAR,
and,
though.
Excuse me, I'm talking. I'm a truck driver. I drive when the weather conditions are favorable, okay? I do drive in some rain, but I'm not doing 200 miles an hour. You go onto the construction site, hot and heavy.
Yes,
what,
ma'am.
What is your vehicle cut off at, governed at, well, what, 80 miles an hour?
I'm saying the high and hot. I didn't say hot and heavy. That's a sex term. I'm saying high and hot.
I'm sorry. I'm a dumb Southerner.
Ma'am, I come from the South, too. What are you talking about?
Well,
I come from the South, too. I'm from Knoxville,
better.
Tennessee.
Well, whatever.
I just said that one man from, that man come from, he sounded like he was from up north. And the reason why I said that is because maybe he can make sense, because I'm talking all kinds of Southerners who are too deeply enmeshed in the whole culture of NASCAR. Well, I said there's a dumbass aspect to it. But
Well, you did insult people, Steve. You insulted people.
Well, my point is just this. I didn't say hot and heavy. That sounds like I'm, you know, chasing down a woman to have some kind of sex action. I said high and hot, which means...
I didn't say it. High and hot sounds just as bad. But my point is...
When's the last time you ever got it hot? Well, I better not say...
Excuse me. Have you ever been on a racetrack doing 200 miles an hour in the rain?
Yes
or no?
Yes, ma'am, I have. When I went high and hot down to that job site. It's not a racetrack. You're right.
Excuse me, I'm not talking about your personal life. I'm talking about a racetrack. Stop avoiding answering the question. Just answer.
Okay. If you call going down to that job site a racetrack, in my own life it is.
It's not a racetrack. I'm talking
in my
about
life,
a full-blown racetrack.
Let me put it this way. I've played race Sega games, that kind of thing. Now, I know that's not real. I know it's a computer game. However,
can
I just say,
that's fantasy.
You're right. It isn't real, but it does take the same. It does take the same reactions.
No,
it does take
no.
the same coordination.
No, come
on.
Video
game, you do not die. Okay.
That is exactly right.
Die.
That's exactly. You're exactly right. But you still need
play video games.
All I'm saying, ma'am, you're right. You don't die. But I'm saying it takes the same reaction time. And everything like that.
Oh, come on! You're not trying to tell me that's it's the weight of the wheel isn't the same. There's not the heat inside the automobile's compartment.
You don't have
the noise
tires for the track.
Well, have you ever been on a track, Mr. Henry?
Actually, I have.
Where?
I test drove one of these new Ford Thunderbirds out at Riverside for a sponsor.
That's right. I wish you wouldn't lie.
I'm not lying. I was out at Riverside, and I got into a Thunderbird, and we took it up to a high speed on a track. I haven't been in a race, no.
See, this lady asked that question to make... You may be, you're trying to make me...
A quarter mile. And when it's raining...
You ran a quarter mile?
Hold it.
When you ran in your feet, or you ran in a car?
Use your brain, common sense.
Well, ma'am,
I raced on a quarter track. I'm not talking about running. I'm not a teenager.
I thought you was running. You said you was running. I thought you were running down a street or something. So you ran down a quarter mile, okay. And what did you find out? You found out you can do it in the rain if you're not so scared.
Try it in the rain. Them cars have so much horsepower. If it's raining, all they're going to do is sit there and spin because they've got slicks on, okay? Set for a dry track.
I can tell you, ma'am, that if we would simply have
a
little
more
courage...
If your video game doesn't work that way, doesn't mean reality. You need a reality check. As far as opportunity to sue NASCAR, I think that's kind of petty. What does chicken salad cost?
Excuse me? My wife made egg salad for 25 people.
Whatever.
I'm not saying, whatever. Oh, whatever. Okay, great. Whatever. So NASCAR, those guys go and they drink their baby bottle because it's too wet outside, and my wife and I got to pack up egg salad for 30.
Baby bottle.
How am I drinking out of a baby bottle when all I'm asking for as a consumer of the NASCAR race is to see these guys get out there and grow a pair and run it in the rain?
Well, you're listening to people saying, Steve. Right. You're listening to people. Listen, Lisa, thank you very much for your call. You're listening to people telling you this is a safety issue, Steve. What do you have to say to that?
My answer to that is simply this. If you have the skill as a NASCAR driver and you have the skill, you can run in the rain, you can run on oil, you can run, you can do it and do it and do it and do it a long time. But you got to be able to, you know, allow these guys to have the guts instead of feeding them baby milk and having them sit down and have a baby bottle.
All right, 877-876-7445, Stephen Bozell on why they should run in the rain at Daytona. Here is Ricky on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ricky.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Mr.
Bozell, I don't really
know. Sir.
I'm from down south. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and I
sir.
Keep up with, you know, racing a little bit here. Your analogy about about football here. How can you compare football to race car driving? Another thing is, that's like sending the space shuttle
I'm from
up
Tennessee.
A damn tornado.
What? Okay. It's like what?
Sending the
no,
space
sir.
Shuttle
no.
up.
No, sir, it's not. No, sir, it's not. I'll tell you why it's
okay.
not the same thing. I'll
Here's
tell you why it's
thing.
Not the same thing.
When you take,
we race
when you
in
take.
The rain. We drive our car in the rain. You ain't never put a rocket up in a tornado. Nobody ever done that. Nobody puts an airplane
that's
up in a tornado.
That's what you're saying to do. Because now,
no,
now,
sir.
Give me a second here. Give me a second here, Mr. Bozell. You're out there in California, land of fruit and nuts. We're back here in the South.
Oh, look, man, I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, so ain't nothing you got to say to me that I don't know.
All right, look, gentlemen, hold on. I've got to come back to you, Ray. Hold on, Ray, and I'll be right with you, and you too, Steve. Hold on, we got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the Daytona 500, the rain delay, and whether it's time Daytona starts running in the rain, and whether Mr. Bozell is going to actually accomplish his mission, and that is a legal action against the NASCAR authorities to force them to run in the rain. And grow a pair. It's the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry. Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere to go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we're very happy to be with you this evening. We have Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor, the father of two, a husband, and a NASCAR fan from Corona, California, originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. Talking with us here about the rainout on Sunday, last Sunday, of the Daytona 500, which you say, Mr. Bozell, was unnecessary. It's about time NASCAR begins to show a little moxie. It's about time the drivers themselves show a little moxie, get out there and run in the rain. Football players play in any weather. And you've heard people talking to you about the safety situation.
Let me explain about the safety situation, Phil, if I could, and thank you for having me on your program.
And then we want to get back to our callers.
Yes, sir, I understand that. But I want to explain the safety situation to you, and this is something that people, look, you know and I know and everyone listening to your program tonight knows, I think NASCAR knows, I think the drivers know, that people tune in to see a NASCAR, to see the NASCAR 500, automobile races. And, yeah, they want to see if a car is going to be in an accident. And they want to see if the driver can pull out of a hellacious spin or something like this. So if it's raining, I'm not saying I want to see anybody die and I want to see anyone get hurt. But you will still see if it's raining, the cars, a lot of them will go get into spins and all this. And that's part of what attracts people to the race. And I think NASCAR needs to start to understand, this is a big time, this is a big money. That lady was talking to me about running. Have I ever been on a racetrack? I told her I run it high and hot when I'm going to work in the morning. I've got to get there. And
yeah, you said that, but that's not a racetrack. Okay.
Well, nobody else is running on a racetrack. Nobody else runs in the rain on a racetrack. So how can she say, have you ever been on a racetrack? I'm talking about running in the rain on a racetrack. Well, she never done that. Neither have I. But I've done it closer to it than she has. She's not done it closer to it than I have.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let me get over to Ray, who was hanging on through the last break. Ray, go ahead. Ricky, go ahead. You're on with Steve Bozell.
Well, Mr. Bozell, actually, I'm just another dumb Southerner, and I just want to let you know one thing. Just
that's the second time you said that. I told you I'm from the South, too, sir, so, don't get such a tender ass about it.
Like I said, land of fruit and nuts, come on back home to Knoxville.
Yeah, whatever. Let me tell you what. There are just as many fruits and nuts down south, probably more than are out here, so don't worry about it.
That's okay, but we understand not to drive in the damn rain. You understand? Now, when you take...
I think so. Except you can't move your mobile home away from the Hurricane Alley.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Mr. Bo. When you take weight, speed...
My name is not Mr. Bo. My name is Mr. Bozell, okay? You want me to start calling you Dickie?
It reminds me of the last dog I had. But wait a minute now. Hold on. What I'm trying to
you
say...
Remind me of the last dumb gardener I had.
Okay, well, you know how Southerners are. But anyway, check us out.
No, just you. Not you Southerners. Just you. Just you, son.
And you throw all that together and throw some water onto it, you're bound to have an accident and somebody can get killed, okay? So my question is...
I just got
to
tell you that they race in the rain. The open wheel cars race in the rain. So what makes these NASCAR guys so special?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I'm sorry that you have to have those type of people on. And, he's right. He has a right to his opinion and everything. But like I said...
Well, all you've been doing is calling me names and talking about how dumb Southerners are.
I don't teach your son to drive his bicycle or ride his skates in the rain.
Of course I don't. Of course I don't. I'm talking about race car driving. I'm talking about guys that are supposed to know what they're doing.
Well, they do know what they're doing, but they're smart, too, at the same time. And by the way, everybody that races these cars are not from the South. Just keep that in mind.
How come you are got a problem with the South? What seems to be your problem?
I don't have a problem with the South, but the young lady that you had on before, you were mocking the South and bad-mouthing
the
South.
No, I wasn't. No, I said I had a man from the North who called up, and I said it took a guy from the North to call up and set me straight because I got the dumbass quotient coming. I come from the South.
Let me ask you a question. Why?
But let me tell you something. I got no problem with the South until you called. Now I'm back to having some bad opinions about the South again.
Why'd you leave the South?
To get a job. How about that? Make some money. Yeah, make some money. Make something for my family. Do something for my family.
Construction man.
I know you build houses down there, right? But I don't want to build no houses in the middle of a tornado alley. And I don't build houses in the middle of hurricanes. And you just had a city get flooded underwater. I'd rather not live there, if you don't mind. I guess you'd like to, but I'd rather not.
I'll tell you what, when that earthquake comes out your way, you have a good day.
And when's that? When's that going to happen? Because I'm living high and hot right now.
We don't predict.
I know you don't.
Go talk to a palm reader or something.
You got something called a weather bureau out there. You ever heard of that? Next time a hurricane's coming, you might want to consult.
We're from down south. We got wind vanes. We listen to those things.
Well, don't play the we thing, sir, because everybody I've talked to tonight's got more brains than you. I'm just talking about you now. If you're the only Southerner, I think we're okay.
There was a time that somebody like you and myself, we'd have to go settle things behind a barn, but it's too bad
wouldn't take
that
long.
You're 2,000 miles from my
settle
house.
Things behind, settle things behind the barn? I don't go that way.
Well, anyway, Mr. Phil,
and I bet you got yourself a dog, or maybe you got yourself a boyfriend, but I don't go that way.
Okay, look, this is a ridiculous conversation that's gone on too long. You guys are supposed to be talking about NASCAR.
Well, this guy thinks I'm making fun of Southerners. I ain't making fun of Southerners. I'm making fun of him.
You were making fun of Southerners, and you were talking about the dumbass quotient, too. Anyway, sir, thanks for your call, Ricky. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. And so have you calmed down here?
I've calmed down, but that guy said there was a time he'd take me behind a barn and do what? Take my pants down?
No, he wasn't talking about that at all. He was talking about a fist fight.
Well, it didn't sound that way to me. It sounded to me like he said there was a time I could take you behind a barn, and there wouldn't be nobody would think anything of it if I took your pants down.
No, he didn't say that at all. You know, you're talking about NASCAR and the Daytona 500. You're talking about something that is it's a little sacred to some people. And you may be from the South, but you did say you're dealing with a dumbass quotient.
When that guy called from the North, I said, thank God. Thank God a man from the North called to just get some, you know, just get some sense talked into it, that's all.
Take it easy, man.
I just...
Take it easy.
Try.
Are you all right?
I'm all right, but I...
All right, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Let's go to another phone call here. We have... who is this? I don't know who this is.
Hi, my name is Sam.
Oh, it's Sam. That's right, Sam. Go ahead, man. So for some reason, I wrote down... for line 8, I wrote down NASCAR, and I know that ain't your name.
No, no problem. I'm gonna name my
next child NASCAR.
Go ahead, Sam.
I have the racing experience, so if you want for Mr. Bozell, I can either break down the physics of it or really any way he wants. As somebody, because he doesn't apparently want to deal with Southerners, which is fine. That's his preference.
I never said that.
I'm not going to get into an argument about it.
I didn't say that I want to deal with Southerners. I just didn't want to deal with anybody from Memphis.
That's fine.
Whatever.
I've lived in Chicago, and I was born there, and I lived there for 20 years. I lived in Southern California for 10 years.
Okay, so let me ask you a question here, Sam. Here, this is where I'll ask you the question. What is to stop NASCAR, just taking Mr. Bozell's side?
I'd like to be able to speak for myself.
Hold on for a minute.
Sure.
What is to keep NASCAR from developing a tire, windshield wipers, essentially an automobile that can run at a higher speed on a wet surface?
They actually do have that, but it's only for road courses. Unfortunately,
I'm talking about on an oval track using the NASCAR body. You know, using the NASCAR.
The problem is you can't do it because the tracks are basically a bowl shape, and everything is banked. Whereas everything, when you go into the corners, the rubber and the oil, because that's where the cars are running, the oil and the rubber is laid down at the inner line of the track. And you have what's called the marbles, which is what comes off of the tires, which is worn rubber, and it runs to the outside because of centrifugal force. So what happens when it begins to rain is those marbles run down into the racing line and mix with the oil and that really slick rubber when it becomes wet. And what happens is when you're running on that line of the course, it becomes extremely slick. And there's nothing.
No, I understand. I understand, but you're not. But I'm asking you. Hold on. The question is, you got to be quiet for a minute here, or I'm going to have to hang the phone up on you. Be quiet, will you?
Okay.
For God's sake, I want to ask you something. What's to keep NASCAR? Because it's the same question. What's to keep NASCAR from developing a tire, from developing an automobile, a racing automobile that can deal with all of those factors?
Well, the problem would be is you're going to create a vehicle that's going to be 100% different from anything else they have. So, if you
100%, 100%, you just said.
If you look at the cars that run now and how many races really end up coming down to being delayed, like the Daytona 500 was this year. I mean, don't get me wrong; it was absolute catastrophe this year. It was the worst case scenario that could possibly happen.
Right.
It ended at 1 a.m.
I understand that, but morning. You're not answering my question. But anyway, I appreciate very much your call. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to take a break here on a world famous Phil Henry Show. Sorry, Steve, that I preempted you there, but I'm trying to get some information that. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And you know we're online at philhenryshow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com, and you get a backstage pass. You can watch our live streaming video of our show each and every night here that we are on the air. That's live streaming video of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at PhilHendryShow.com. Bob Bakin is going to be joining us a little bit later on. We have our News and Information Hour. Stephen Bozell on the line with us. And, Steve, you took exception, I know, to me taking over the phone call there, but I needed to get some answers.
Sir, with all due respect, Mr. Hendry, that last caller, I could have torn him apart.
And that last caller was a driver. He has driven competitively.
That's what he said. I mean, I could have ripped him to shreds. And you just sat there talking about, you didn't get to anything. I'm saying, if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's sleet, if it's dry, why can't you just stay on the track and drive and not pull it over? And make us look, NASCAR fans and NASCAR drivers, like we got to sit down and be picked up by, you know, our crew and stuck in a high chair and we're going to drink a baby bottle.
I don't get the baby bottle thing. What being safe makes you look like an infant?
Yes, being a pansy and going pansy on something that anybody knows if you have skill and you are a credit to your. You're a credit to your profession, and I was going to say credit to your race, but you could be any color and drive, but you need to be a credit to your profession. And when you are allowing them to put a baby bottle in your mouth and burp you, and you look stupid, and you're on national television, it makes you look bad.
All right, 877-876-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over here to Dave. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell.
Yes, Mr. Bozell, the problem is...
Yes, sir.
The tires are developed by Goodyear. They've developed a rain tire. The problem with the high bank ovals is once those cars get into the turns, they just turn sideways. There's nothing you could do to control them. They've experimented with it. They put windshield wipers on cars. They've tried this. It's a liability issue
right.
with the tires. Goodyear's the only manufacturer that will step up and accept liability for their tires. Now, if you want to watch a road course where they race in the rain, they've done that. They're able to do that.
Right.
But the race is slowed so far down that it's not even fun to watch. Same thing with the oval tracks. They've tried to run cars at speed. If you were to sit and watch a Daytona 500, that is a 2.5-mile oval track with cars running approximately pace car speed, which would be about 100 miles an hour, it would take them over 6-7 hours to run the race.
Well, you can put a time limit on it, but here's the other thing. You know, I mean, if my wife and I, if we got together and we have, you know, she's gone to the trouble of me, I've got I don't know how many egg salad sandwiches, so forth. I'd rather be there with my friends watching a race where it's only 100 miles an hour than kicking everybody out and telling everybody to go straight to the devil.
A race that's 100 miles an hour, you might as well just throw the pace car in front of them because that's what they do on the pace laps. Does anybody want to sit there and watch a pace lap?
You don't have to have the pace car. You don't have to have the pace car there. You can just get the pace car off the track. And number two, nobody says the guy's got to go slow. I'd rather have my wife sit down and have people eating the egg salad that she made. Than
everything with you is with this gathering of your friends.
Well, I mean, my wife and I went to great trouble.
I was at a party. You know, there was 20, 25 people at a party waiting for the race. And it didn't happen. We had a great time otherwise, you know?
You had a great time. You had a great time doing what? I mean, well, I had to kick everybody out.
Why would you kick everybody out?
Because there's no race, sir.
You spent money on alcohol and food?
Yes, sir. Of course I did. And there's no race?
You have a good time. You're there with family and friends. Have a good time.
Sir, what am I going to have a good time doing if I got no race? I told them all to get the hell out of my house.
Wow. What is that about? What's that about?
What do you mean, what's that about?
I think what you did is, I think you invited a bunch of people that knew nothing about what was going on.
Exactly.
Hold on, Mr. Ender, what are you laughing at, sir?
that you
Mr. Bozell, I'm laughing. This gentleman made a very good point. He said, if you had all that food and you got the alcohol, the friends are there, why not just have the food and have the drinks and enjoy yourself?
Because there's no race, and I'm not going to sit there with a bunch of these.
Do you like people?
That's a ridiculous question, sir.
Well, then why not just sit there with
Here's another point about the race.
I don't understand what you guys are saying. I'm supposed to sit there on my dead ass and what? Watch it rain?
If I got to explain that to you.
You've never had a party and entertained people, then, obviously. But let me say this.
Yes, I have.
The race is supposed to start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, correct?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Okay. Now, that would have been, you're in California?
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, so I've got people over. Yeah, we got to get up early to see things out here. Football starts at 10.
Well,
pre-game starts at 9 o'clock.
Now I understand the egg salad you were serving breakfast.
I don't know. My wife made egg salad sandwiches. Well, okay. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to get NASCAR to step up to the plate and man up and get those drivers back into their car and have them grow a pair and get out on that track and run because...
Because your wife made egg salad sandwiches, that's what you're saying. And that just is not a good enough reason to put a man back in a car and have him risk his neck.
Andrew, you're talking like you understand it or something. You've never been in a racetrack.
I just got done telling you, yes, I have. I haven't raced competitively, but obviously I've done more than you have. All you've been telling me about is running it high and hot, going out and finding some...
No, I got to get down to a job site and get there before the owner.
Okay, that's what you call racing.
Listen, I was a contractor, too. And
all right, listen, thank you very much, sir. I got to take a break. I appreciate your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
That guy started talking, and you just hung up on him. And I could have made a point and beat him down. I've had every opportunity.
No, Mr. Bozell, you haven't had any opportunity to make any point. And you know, that point that you were making, that your wife was making egg salad sandwich and that you had people there, and once the race was called off, you had to go into your office and you had to collect your thoughts. What were you thinking about there?
I was just what this gentleman was talking about. Am I going to sit there and am I going to sit there and let people sit in my home with no, you know, do I throw them out? Do I tell them to go to hell? What do I do?
You said you went into that room and said what?
I went into what room?
When you came out of your office and you threw those people out of your house.
Yes, sir, I did.
You told them to go to the devil?
I said, why is it so unusual? I came there, I was primed for a race, there's no race. And when the ABC or when the man on TV said they're going to delay the race, and I looked at Bill Hutchinson, and Hutchinson, apparently that didn't register with him, or he just showed he didn't care at all, because even as they were saying they're delaying the race, there he is, putting one of my wife's sandwiches in his mouth, smiling, and laughing at a joke. And that's when I said, I can't take this. If you don't take your racing serious, I don't take it either. And I told him, you get the hell out of my house.
Okay.
Well, if you think I'm mentally diseased...
Yeah, I think you are. I think that there's probably a lot more to talk about with you. Unfortunately, I've run out of time. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bob Bakian coming up from the site of Rush Limbaugh's home on the bomb threat, or the supposed bomb threat. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We've got Bob Bakian standing by, and a phone call here for Stephen Bozell. Steve, I know you have to go because you are expecting your family home at this particular hour. We have on the line Kathy. Go ahead, Kathy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell.
My wife and
my son and my daughter.
Yes, sir. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all, Mr. Bozell, if you were inconvenienced and out, you know, maybe $500 for food, I don't know how you can compare that to a person's life. And to be embarrassed because an act of nature came along and messed up your plans
You're just being awfully selfish if you ask me.
Well, ma'am, now let's be clear. If you're watching the Daytona 500 and you've made egg salad sandwiches, you've made three different kinds of dip, which my wife makes a seven-layer dip and all this, and I'm not trying to impress you with my wife's cooking because I'm sure you're very good too. But what I'm saying is, if you're watching the Daytona 500, there's a chance a man's going to lose his life on that day. Whether it's sunny, whether it's raining, it don't matter. So you see,
yes, it does matter. I have ridden in the rain. I ride motorcycles.
Oh, God.
In the rain. I guarantee you it is a lot more dangerous in the rain than it is on dry pavement.
Ooh.
So.
Ma'am, it's more dangerous in the rain. If you are if you're a quality driver, yes, it's dangerous in the rain. I've had to make runs from.
Why would you want them to put their lives on the line even more for your entertainment? That's what I don't understand. I mean,
I'm the fan. I'm the person that keeps it going.
If you're a fan, then you should be the first person to say stop that race if it's gonna put their life even more on the line. I mean,
no, ma'am, you got to understand with NASCAR, I'm a fan of NASCAR racing. People have got to die, and I don't want them to, but they've got to die. For this sport, and it's been a great sport, it's lasted for so many years, but men have got to die on the track. Otherwise, the sport loses all credibility.
Well,
if
you're watching it just to see if someone dies, then you have a screw loose, mister.
No, ma'am.
You need to reevaluate your priorities.
Are you trying to tell me that you watch NASCar racing and you think that what they're...
I don't watch NASCAR racing.
Well, then you don't understand.
I do watch football.
You're talking...
I do watch football.
You don't
understand. You can't compare football to NASCAR.
Yes, I can, because football is way more...
Football
is tougher. They play in the sport. Don't they play in the rain? Yes, they do.
I can pretty much guarantee you that there have been more games in NASCAR racing than there has been in a professional football game.
The point of NASCAR racing, and you should watch it, because, man, you really need to know what you're talking about. The point of NASCAR racing is to go as fast as you can, you are literally walking that line between God and the devil. You are. I've talked to NASCAR drivers who get so close to that point of losing control that it's either the devil or it's God, no in between. And I'll tell you, they've told me, they've said it's almost like you leave your body and you're looking at the car driving itself. And
what are you talking about, man?
Excuse me?
What are you talking about? What is that supposed to mean?
What am I talking about?
No, not you. I'm talking to Steve. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you that I've talked to NASCAR drivers who said that they've gone so fast that they have been close to going to hell. Okay?
For your entertainment.
Ma'am, whether Steve Bozell never lived, they're still going to be going so fast, they're walking, they're ringing hell's doorbell. Whether I live or die, they're still knocking on the devil's door.
It's because it's raining. Those guys are probably want to be as safe as they can be out there. And, yeah, they're taking their life.
No, they don't. What they want to do
does not mean that you have to be inconvenienced and you have to talk to your attorney to make them run in the rain. That's just ridiculous.
I got my wife out of bed on Sunday morning. I said, "You're going to make egg salad?" She said, "Yes, I am." I said, "This is the biggest day of racing." I called up Dolores Blazingame as soon as they said they were postponing. I said, "Someone's going to pay. Someone's got to pay."
And someone's got to pay because they delayed the race.
Yes.
And why don't you get on your knees and ask God to pay then?
NASCAR racing is when a driver... NASCAR racing is when a driver gets so close to hell that he's knocking on the devil's door.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that's how fast they're going, sir. What? No, it's not ridiculous. Look at you laughing. See, she thinks it's funny that a man dies. Now we know the truth. Now we know the truth.
Oh.
She thinks it's funny that a man dies. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been eating my wife's
egg
salad.
I'm not laughing.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You think it's funny that a man dies and burns up.
I think, God.
What is that?
It's asinine and ridiculous.
No, ma'am. What I'm saying is asinine. What, they go so fast in NASCAR that they can feel the breath of God on them.
Okay, but why do
How do you like that?
Even, Why did they have to even go?
Yeah.
Go?
You know why you say that? Because you're jealous. Because you're jealous. Because you wish you could get that close to God. You wish you could get that close to God, and you can't. NASCAR drivers get closer to God than anybody. They get closer to God than Billy Graham ever was. How about that?
Boy, that's blasphemy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Probably makes me a lot closer to God than you, Buster.
I don't think you care one way or another. But I think you would care if you knew that that man's about to die, but he feels the devil's breath right up his you-know-what. What about that?
Well, I still think you have a screw loose. And if these guys don't
if I've got a screw, I'm telling you, ma'am, that our nest.
Just if these guys don't want to run in the rain, and if people for safety think it's better to not run when it's pouring down rain.
Oh, we live in such a soft society. People like you have made us soft. You've made us soft. Yes, we're a soft society. Everybody's got to be safe. What's that?
I just want to say, if you think you're soft, how many guns do you have in your home?
I'm not soft. I got plenty of guns. But you want to soften us up. And you don't know that a NASCAR driver is at his happiest when he feels the devil grabbing him from behind. Well, never mind.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, Kathy, thank you for your call.
Well, what does that mean, Mr. Henry? You're going to leave me hanging looking like I'm some kind of a freak.
Well, what do you mean the devil?
I'm saying that a NASCAR driver is never happier than when he can feel the devil grabbing his hips from behind. Okay? There, I said it. She hung up.
Of course she hung up.
Well, you know something, Mr. Yeah, I hope the devil someday. Well, you know what? You'll never feel the devil grab you from behind. So that's.
I feel really bad about that.
If you knew, forget it.
Wow, that guy is—he's got a. I'm telling you, whatever the terminology is, you know.
Yeah, like two slices of American cheese shy of a hero.
Two slices of American cheese shy of a hero. That's good enough. And what, Bud?
Well, he's on the line, and he wanted to just talk to you one more second.
Well, I don't like him hanging up on me, I'll tell you that much. Did you tell him that?
Yeah.
Mr. Bozell.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on you, sir. I wanted to hang up on her.
Well, what do you mean you wanted to hang up on her?
I was trying to hang up on her, and I realized that I hung up on you, because she's coming through you. I thought I was talking to her directly. I'm sorry, sir. I got emotionally ahead of myself. I apologize. I just wanted to thank you for having me on your program. And the fact that that lady would not take me seriously. And
well, when you say that a NASCAR driver's fondest dream is to feel the devil grabbing him from behind, you know.
No, I don't know.
That sounds about as weird as it gets, man. I don't think anybody understands that.
Well, all I know, sir, is because my wife was inconvenienced. And you may laugh if you want, that she and my daughter and, oh, God, hold on.
What is that, man?
That's air freshener, I'm sorry. What happened was my wife has made so many egg salad sandwiches, I told her I'd eat them, and I did. I ate 15 of them, but the gas, and she's coming home with April Jr. and Steve Jr. here in about a half an hour. They were visiting her mother. And I'm just trying to get the air cleaned up in here because the gas that it. Have you ever had egg salad?
Yes, I have, and I don't need you to talk about it, okay?
I apologize.
In any event, Mr. Bozell, I appreciate you being on our program this evening. I'm sorry that we couldn't really solve the problem for you.
Sorry, just trying to get the air is just fouling here, man. Man, come on!
Well, do you want me to let you go?
Yeah, I got to get this cleaned up because she's coming down the street now. I can see her headlights.
Get out of here, will you? For God's sake, bud.
I didn't know he was going to do that.
My wife made 15 egg salad sandwiches. All right, so I think it's safe to say that, and I do appreciate everybody's phone calls this evening because I think people hit the nail on the head. There is a great amount of technical. There are a number of things that must change from the standpoint of the actual, the structural reality of the race car. Everything from the tires to the windshield wipers themselves, everything has to change in order for them to run at competitive speeds in heavy rain. So we're not talking about being a sissy. We're talking about the maximum efficiency of these very, very fast and very finely tuned machines that are the at the very center of competitive automobile racing. And this has got nothing to do with them being scaredy cats, you know. And I can remember years ago when I was, I forget where it was. Will you hang up on that guy with the freaking air freshener?
Probably everything you were saying.
Oh, is that it? All right, we'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, man, are you putting me on?
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Time for Iron Swine on the Phil Hendry Show. Tonight on Iron Swine,
Charlie Sheen and Phil Hendry talking about Charlie Sheen. They're not Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Going over to Phil Hendry studio. Hey, Phil Hendry.
Yeah?
What are you talking about Charlie Sheen, talking all kind of smack? Charlie Sheen ain't never hurt you, and that ain't hurt me neither.
I'm going to talk about him because it's interesting to hear him.
Shut up. That's why I'm going to place you under arrest, Phil Hendry.
How you doing? I'm Phil Hendry. I do multiple voices. Oh!
Einstein took Phil Hendry away to bad voice character school and got him an education and threw him into bad character voice prison, too.
On Einstein.
Oh, isn't that funny? I don't even get it.
Ha, ha, ha.
What is that supposed to mean?
You're busting on Charlie Sheen.
That's one of the worst Einsteins I've ever heard.
Yeah, you're going to say that on account that's about you.
Get out of here. Why did you guys do that?
Because we couldn't think of a better one.
Yeah, you want us to do one, so that one we did.
Well, you know what? I mean, don't let me talk you into it. If you can't think of a good one.
Wait a minute, I just thought of something. Hold on. Start again.
All right, man, hold on.
Start it again.
Hold on, man. God.
Okay, start it. Iron Swain.
What are we going to do?
I'll do it. Iron Swine, you gotta go and tell Phil Hendry quit belching on the air.
Get out of here, will ya? Tell Phil... quit belching on the air. All right, anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. There's an Iron Swine for you. Now, I want to get to Bob Bakey, and I know he's in his chopper, and you got to get the music ready, because I told you guys yesterday, and I promised Bob a fair shot at it now, that when he is on, he needs to hear his music.
Yeah, but the whole thing to me is mentally diseased.
I don't care if it sounds mentally diseased to you. We got to have the music before he comes. There you go. Okay. Now, with our report from Florida, here is Bob Bakey in the Phil Hendry news helicopter over the site of Rush Limbaugh's house this evening. And Bob, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, and thank you, and hello, and a good evening to everybody out of the West Coast, all across the United States this evening. It's Bob Bakey from Palm Beach, Florida, reporting here from the site of Rush Limbaugh's home, where, as you know, Phil, as you reported earlier, and as you have very clearly stated, Rush Limbaugh had, in terms of his, I'm looking at my notes here, in terms of the security, where's the music? Where's the music? Where's the music? Where's the music? Oh, thank God.
Hold on, what happened, bud?
Get stuck because on account of the recycling and everything.
Oh, shut up, will you, please? I'm just trying to, the more you talk, the less time I've got, okay? This is Bob Bakey in Florida. Where was I, Phil?
You were talking about the bomb, the bomb scare.
Right. There was no bomb scare, Phil. That's the point I'm trying to make. There was no bomb scare, and I wish people would stop talking about that because it turns out it was a package. They contacted the individual that had sent the package to Mr. Limbaugh, and apparently the person did not have the package of the thing, and he didn't. What I'm saying is he didn't have the package I'm trying to find. Oh, please make the music start. Please make it. Oh, yeah. The package,
Go ahead.
The package was not a bomb. It was sent by some jackass in Pennsylvania. I've got to collect myself now.
This is Bob Baking reporting. Hold on for just a minute. Bob Baking reporting.
Are you all right?
I'm just... Hold on. Let me talk to my wife. Phil, do you have a moment? I want to get my wife on the phone just because that was very rough for me.
Well, we played the music and...
Yeah, you played the music, but you've got to get a longer bed because every time it stops... let me... Hold on for just a minute, Phil, okay?
All right. Bob Baking on the line with us.
Yeah, let me get... Yeah, right. Pasadena, California. Hold on. Where is it? Where? Okay. Hey, honey. Yeah. Do you have extra music? Because I'm here. Oh, la, 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 la. There it is. Okay. They stopped the music. Do you have extra music? Good. When I get home? Okay, great. My wife and I are trying to conceive our fourth child. And as you know, Phil, I need the music. I must have the music. So that when I make love to my wife, I've got an iPod in, you know.
Yeah, I know. You've got headphones on. It's all very creepy, but go ahead.
All right, so here in Florida, all is well as Rush Limbaugh's home has been secured. There is no bomb. Mr. Limbaugh, of course, was out of town, but security was called out. Now, this was a plaque with some wires, Phil, attached to this. That's what they thought it was.
Now, that's what I heard, and my speculation before the show was that it was someone that he didn't know. Someone got that package onto the property somehow, and it sounds to me like it might have still be someone maybe with a little ill intent.
Well, Phil, you never can tell about these things. You never can tell. Will you please not have him do that?
But you got to keep the music going, okay?
Yeah.
What does he mean, yeah? This is my life we're talking about. Do you understand me?
Okay, Bob, it's okay.
No. Hold on. No, it's not okay. Let me talk to that guy.
Bob.
Let me talk to that guy. Where is he?
I'm right here.
What's your name, Dickman?
Yes, sir.
I know. You listen to me and listen good. This is my life. I can't do anything. I can't make a move. I can't breathe. I can't have sex with my wife. I can't say good morning to my children. Nothing. Unless I've got that music playing. Do you understand?
Well, yes, sir, but the bed ran it.
I don't care. You fix it or get out of my way. That's my philosophy in life. Either fix my music or get out of my way. You understand me?
Yes, sir.
This is Bob Baking reporting from the Phil Henry News Helicopter here in Palm Beach, Florida. All's well that ends well. Bob Baking, good night. I'm Bob Baking, Bob Baking's wardrobe.
Now, hold on.
Don't tell me to hold on. I'm not done yet.
Sorry.
Bob Baking's wardrobe by Claringhams. Go.
Well, that guy needs help.
Tell me about it, man. I got him on the phone and said I want to do my wardrobe.
He wants to do his wardrobe? That's what I just heard him say. Bob Baking's wardrobe by Claringhams?
Clarington's.
No, he didn't say Clarington's. He said Clanaham or some jazz like that. I never even heard of it.
Yeah, it's a men's shop. It's a men's shop.
It's a men's shop. Bob Baking's wardrobe by Clanaham's. Let me tell you something. Who cares what that guy's wearing? He's in a helicopter. He's reporting on something that happened that wasn't even news 2 hours ago. It's only the fact that I wanted to get him on the air and clear up what happened here last night. So we would play his music, bud.
Oh, I know. The music's going to run out.
Make it so it doesn't run out, man, so we have enough time for this guy. All right, so thanks very much, Bob, and we're very happy that all's well that does end well there at Rush Limbaugh's home in Palm Beach. It was a suspicious package. It was not a bomb. It found its way onto Mr. Limbaugh's property and was discovered by his security people, and they thought it looked unusual enough that they needed to call the authorities. Now, it had attached to it wires. It had some kind of a metal plate, so they were concerned about it. They contacted the individual that sent it, and the individual said to them, he assured them it was not a bomb. I'm thinking, I'm just guessing, and we'll get the news as it comes out, that this was a fan or otherwise someone who was not acquainted with Mr. Limbaugh but sent him something, and it found its way to his address, his home address, as opposed to, let's say, the clearinghouse that deals with his mail. And it was thusly dealt with by his security. 8 alleged Penn State victims say abused on campus. That's where they say it happened. We got more of this Sandusky stuff.
Sure, I mean, you want to get the music ready?
What music?
For Bob Baking.
We're not having Baking back with that. He's done. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.